3, verse number 1. I do want to say to our guests, Deborah, Zachariah, Christine, the Kelly crew, God bless you. We're glad for the guests that are with Sister Kelly. And we do have some other guests that are with us real quick. It's either Kaisie or Keezie, Duncan. And we are thankful that you are with us. Let me get my glasses out. And we have Dylan, Harris, Justin, Chris, Brown, and I can't quite get that last name. I think it's Jay. I don't know what it is, but you know who you are because you came with the others. And then there's Tony Davis, Nadia, and Elroy Harton that are with us here today. Pauline Sutherland, I believe that is, with us here today. Tabernacle of Pentecost, will you put your hands together for our guests? Let them know we welcome them in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we started a journey last week on Calvary. And Isaiah 53 and 1, if you're there, say amen. And the word of the Lord tells us in Isaiah 53 and 1, who hath believed our report? Hold on just a second. I'm sorry, I'm being clumsy here today. But y'all got me all nervous and everything. So, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now, last week we read all the way through verse number 12, but we're not going to do that today. By the help of the Lord, we are going to try to finish the second part of this scripture. So, who hath believed our report? Ask your neighbor, do you believe the report of the Lord? And then Isaiah went on to say, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? I want to tell you that God has some things to reveal to us. And if we could ever get a hold of it, it'll change our lives forever. Pastor's been saying that to you for the last 8 weeks when we taught on faith, hope, and charity. And now the Lord is wanting us to go back to the basics of Calvary. Wednesday night was the basics of prayer. I think it was Wednesday. And I wish all of you could be here. I encourage you to be here on Wednesday nights. Try to make it. I know it's difficult, but try to make it. Listen, if you have a teenager between the age of 12 to 25, which is no longer would be a teenager, of course, but if you have children in that age with you, bring them to church on Wednesday night. They have their own special classes. We teach them how to live for God in relevance to this generation. And then every second Sunday, Sean, how often? The service, the main service for the youth. Every first and third Sunday, all of our youth come together. They have their own full-blown service in the back with their own music, and they pray people through to the Holy Ghost. If you want your teenagers living for God and your young sons and your young daughters, bring them to church. Make the sacrifice. Be here for church on Wednesday nights, and there will be incredible young men and women that will lead and guide them and help them to live for the Lord. Amen. I know Sister Kelly tries to get all them, we call them the Kelly kids, but out here on Wednesdays, and we're just so thankful. Okay, I'm sorry. That was an advertisement for our youth group. And listen, there's 80, 90, sometimes 100 and something of them back there. And it will influence your children, and it will impact them. Let's put our Bibles down. And Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus. I need you to touch my mind. Help me to speak to these wonderful, wonderful people of God. Lord, that we might hear the word, that we might understand the word today, that we might get a fresh vision of Calvary, that we can understand what Calvary did for us, the power, the impact of the cross upon our lives. Lord, it is our prayer. It is our hope. God, it is our vision. Do it in the mighty, mighty name of the Lord. And everybody say amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, I want the arm of the Lord revealed to me. Clap your hands and God bless you. You can be seated. What a mighty God. Two Sundays ago, we taught on the tortures of the tree. We ministered on the tortures of the tree, and we dealt with the things that the Lord went through, and that is usually always the angle that we take when it comes to Calvary. But God began to deal with me just a little bit about the fact that it's more than just the physical pain in which he suffered, but it's what was accomplished at Calvary's Hill. It's what was accomplished upon this place that the Word of God calls Golgotha, and the place of the skull. The physical torture was immense, and the fact that he was willing to go through that. I mean, the Word of the Lord tells us that even Christ himself, the flesh, cried out to the Spirit and said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. It wasn't something that he wanted to go through. It wasn't something that he desired to go through, to suffer all of the things that would take place in this crucifixion, in this death called the cross, in this place called Calvary. But it was something that he understood was necessary. Not my will be done, but thy will be done. I don't want to face this, but God, if it must be, then so be it. And so we know that the physical tortures of Christ, that what our Savior went through, that it had a spiritual impact upon the world of darkness as well as the world of light. And now, 2,000 years later, it is still having an impact upon my life and upon yours. And I know that if we somehow could just get a better understanding of what Calvary really meant, what it really did, what it really accomplished, then we would be able to walk out of this building here today. And when the devil would try to bring up your past, you can look at that devil in the face and tell him, how dare you drag up something from under the blood? Calvary took care of that. Somebody shout, Calvary took care of that. Shout, Calvary took care of that. And you begin to learn, and then when sickness comes upon your body, you can look at the devil square in the face and say, I don't think so. I'm not going to receive that, because my Savior received stripes upon his back. And the Bible tells me, by his stripes I am healed, Isaiah. But Peter put it this way, by his stripes we were healed. We got into the Word of the Lord and we looked at some things here because the Scripture says, who shall believe our report? And we found out when Christ came that the world rejected him. We found out that the Jews rejected him. And so we begin to look and we wonder in ourselves, and we say, how can anyone reject such an awesome gift, the sacrifice of one given his own life? But yet we see it over and over every week when men and women would walk into this building, and they will hear a message that will touch their heart and their spirit. But something, somehow, I don't know, I can't explain it. It befuddles me to think of it, because I remember the first time I walked into an apostolic church. I had hair down on my back, and I was a user. But somebody had, I think it was my sister, convinced me to come. And I remember the first time I ever felt the power of God. I sat upon that seat. I was transfixed at God's glory. And when that altar was given, they couldn't have tied a team of horses. There wouldn't have been enough trucks to hold me back. I got up and made my way to that altar. I lifted my hands. I never spoke a word of English. I began to speak a language I had never learned.
Nobody had ever told me about the Holy Ghost or talking in tongues. They don't have to. When you get in the presence of the blood, when you get in the power of the work of Calvary.
Oh, let's put our hands together. Come on. God is awesome. But the question is, will you believe? The question is, will you respond? Will you allow somehow for the arm of the Lord to be revealed in your life? So we ran through the scripture, and I don't want to stay long on that. My wife gets mad at me all the time. She says, you review too long. You review for 45 minutes, and you preach on the new subject for 10. She said, I wish you'd just get to the new subject. I said, but I can't remember what I preached last week. I got a review for me. I'm reviewing for me. And the word of the Lord says that now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And so I stand to you as your pastor, and I apologize to you today because we don't preach on Calvary enough. We don't bring up the subject of the cross enough. We don't tell you about his shed blood enough. Because the word of the Lord tells me that if you don't hear it from a preacher, you can't believe. That the preacher's got to get up. He's got to preach the word of God. And when the word of God is preached and you hear it, then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of the Lord. And so I vow to you today, as the help and the power of the Holy Ghost, that we will deliver the pertinent subjects of the word of God, because I want this church to be a believing church, that if it's sickness, we have the power to heal. If it's demons, we've got the power to cast out or cast off. If it's financial, we've got the faith to believe God to provide. Whatever it is, it's in us. It's in us. It's in us. Clap your hands to the Lord. So the question is will you believe? You see, the foundation of our belief in Christ is indeed the cross. If you do not hold to your heart dear the cross, then you cannot hold to your heart dear the Christ. Because if you don't receive the cross, then you can't receive the Christ. You know, this is the religious world that we live in today, though. You see, they want to receive the Christ, but they don't want any blood. It wasn't but just a few years ago, maybe about 10 or 15 years ago, there was a major denomination in our world who got together, and they were debating on taking all the songs out of their hymnals that had anything to do with the blood. They said, we need to remove the songs that have anything to do with the blood, because it's too sad and too depressing, and we need church to be exciting and uplifted. And I certainly agree with that. But what are you going to get excited about? I'm not just here to feel good. I'm excited because the blood of the cross has washed my sins away. I'm excited because the blood of the cross has widened my path and given me a way to walk the straight and narrow way. My God, hallelujah. Everything that makes me excited about God, it comes from the cross. We preached that last week. We don't need to get over here laying hands on somebody and believing for them to be healed and forget about where the healing comes from. Everything flows from Golgotha's hill. Everything that you and I enjoy, every power of God that we feel, every touch of the Holy Ghost, every healing in our body, it all flows from the cross. It all comes from Calvary. I don't want to belabor the point too much, but I'm telling you, we live in a religious world today where people want to go into the house of God, and they just want to feel his presence, and they just want to live. I don't know. I don't even know how to explain it. I don't even have the ability to put the words to it, but they want to live some kind of surface, some kind of superficial walk with God that has no sacrifice, no blood involved, no giving up of self. I can stay like I am and still be his. I can stay in sin and still be saved. Friend, I'm here to tell you today,
That is a mockery of what the cross is all about. Because what he bore on that cross is my sins. And if I'm going to come to him, I've got to be willing to give up my old way of life.
You want to live for him, but you want to keep drinking. I don't want to be too mean. I'm just pastoring a little bit. I don't pastor enough. You want to give your life to God, but you want to continue to live in sin. You don't need a preacher to tell you that fornication is sin. You don't need a preacher to tell you that adultery is sin. You don't need a preacher to tell you that drugs are sin. That pornography is sin. That's all the mean and ugly ones. You don't need a preacher to tell you that bitterness is sin. That jealousy is sin. That envy is sin. That covetousness is sin. Oh, we don't want to deal with those, do we? No, those are too close to home. I can stand before you and say, I'm not an adulterer. I can stand before you and tell you I'm not a fornicator. I can stand before you and tell you I'm not hooked on pornography. But oh, it's a little harder to tell you I don't have a little covetousness in my heart. I don't have a little jealousy deep down inside of this heart of mine. Yeah, that can become a little bit more difficult. These are the things. I'm sorry, let me get the devil hates this message. And he obviously knows how to use electronics better than me. There we go. He got in that thing somehow, went down into the processor, made that thing do something stupid. But you're not going to get in this thing without the blood. And if he died on the cross, that means you're going to have to die to a few things. You're going to have to let go. I hope I get to my message today. And the words that I'm about to use, I am saying with as much love that I can muster. It is the epitome of stupidity to think that you can stay where you were and change nothing about you. And still have him. If there's nothing about us we need to change, then we don't need him. We're perfected in ourselves. We're perfect within our own. But everybody in this building here today, you know that is not the case. Even if we've been living for God for 20 years, Fatima, there are still things in me and you that God is changing every day to make us more like him. Everybody say, pastor's fixing to get a little rough. For all my guests, try us for 60 days. If you don't like us, try us for 60 more. You'll like us eventually. Because if you love truth, you'll love us. We're not here to play church. We're here to fall in love with him. We're here to be more like him. Oh, he is our image. God is dealing with some of you. He brought you into this thing. He used to deal with you, but you overrode it and overrode it and overrode it. And now because you don't feel it as hard, you think it's okay. It's not okay. You held on to it because you're full of pride. And you don't want to let go of some things because, I don't know how else to say it. You let the Holy Ghost interpret it. Because you think it makes you look cool.
makes you acceptable to your friends and your neighbors, but God isn't interested on how acceptable you are to your friends and neighbors. Or to your work environment, or to the people that you know, or anything like that. The only thing God is concerned is to turn you into Him. We live in a religious generation today where they're saying that living for God has nothing to do with the physical. Then why did He die on the cross? Why did He just have some supernatural death? I'll tell you why. He was showing you and me, if we're going to get into the spiritual, the flesh has to die. It has to be crucified. There are things that you're holding on to because of your own lust and your own pride and your own wound, when you know good and well the Word of God says it is wrong. And you are limiting what God can do in your life. He can only bring you so far. He can only use you so much, because you must become Him. You must become looking like Him in order for Him to bring you higher and use you greater in the kingdom of God. There are commandments in the Word of God that every once in a while the preacher will get up and he'll say, the Bible says this is wrong, and that's wrong, and that's wrong, and the Bible's against this. And you'll, oh, spirit, arise up in you, and you'll say, ah, you're dealing with the flesh. The flesh has nothing to do with it. The flesh has everything to do with it. Prove that. He didn't die for angels. They're not flesh. They can't be redeemed. The only thing that can be redeemed is man. The flesh has everything to do with it. That's why Paul says, let us lay aside, let us change, let us withdraw, come out from among them, touch not the unclean thing, and I shall receive you unto myself, thus saith the Lord. It's the Word of God, and all of that is wrapped around this thing called the cross. You see, He paid the ultimate sacrifice so that everything that you and I would ever have to give up would look so small and insignificant compared to what He did for me and you. You know why we can't give up some things? Because we are so far from Calvary. How long has it been since you've got a real look at this place called Calvary? I'm reminded of a story, and dear Lord, I'll never even get to my message today, but I'm getting to His. I'm reminded of a story. This really happened. It was one of our missionaries told it. There was a little Indian boy. He was adopted by the missionary, and he grew up, and he was around 11 or 12 years old. He never knew what happened to his mom or anything like that. We find out later that the little boy finds out that his mother had fled his village because there were some people of another religion that were attacking. And if you didn't deny Christ and accept this other religion, they would kill you. First, they would kill your children. If you were pregnant, they would cut the unborn baby out, slice it in half, and make you watch that as a mother. And then they would kill you. And it was horrible. It was torturous, the things that these people were doing, as they would go from village to village. And so this pregnant mother found that out. And so she had heard about this missionary. So she made her way to the missionary. But as she was on her way, the weather turned very cold, and it began to snow, and it came down really, really, really hard. And so she found shelter underneath the bridge, but it became a blizzard, and she knew she wasn't going to be able to go anywhere. So all of a sudden, she began to go into labor. And under that bridge, she gave birth all by herself to her child.
And she took that little child, umbilical cord still attached to her, and she removed all of her clothing and she wrapped the clothes around that baby. She held that child as close to as she could, and she said, "Lord, please, please take care of my child. Please be there for my baby." And of course, it was a miracle, but some people from the other village had come by. They saw it. They unwrapped. And when they unwrapped this clothing, there was this little baby still alive. They cut the umbilical cord. They ran back. The missionary adopts the child, takes the child on, and grows the child up. So when they felt like the little boy was old enough to understand, they relayed the story to him. Of course, he cried and he wept. And oh, the sacrifice of his mother was unbelievable. A few weeks went by, and cold weather came in. It was snowing. It's coming down and very hard. Everything was covered in snow. And so the missionary was in the home, and the wife and the boy, I don't know, he's around 12 or 13 years old. And so they were calling for him. They couldn't find him. And it was probably the Lord, but something smote the heart of the missionary. He's at his mother's grave. And so he bust through the doors, and it was about a half mile away, made his way down the trail. He climbed the hill. And there he slowly walked up to the boy. The boy had already removed the majority of his clothes, and he had laid them on the grave. And he heard the little boy saying, "Mom, did you get this coat for me?" And he'd take off his jacket and he'd lay in, take off his pants and lay in. He was stripping himself down the naked and he was asking the question, "Mom, did you get this coat for me? Did you suffer this much for me?" Finally, the missionary couldn't take it. He ran and grabbed the boy, weeping all the way, made his way back to the house. But here's the point. I want to tell you, I think we're so far away from Calvary when we begin to complain about maybe some things that we have to give up, and maybe something he wants to fix on the inside of us. And I don't know, maybe he's saying to you, you to his lady, and, "Dear Lord God, help me. I can't believe I'm getting all on this with all our wonderful guests, but just bear with the pastor, because I promise you, you are probably for the first time, some of you, in a church that will not hesitate to preach truth." The Holy Ghost has filled you with His Spirit, and now He's beginning to talk to you, and He's telling you, He says to you, "Ma'am, those dresses you're wearing, they're too short. They're up here on mid-thigh, and men are lusting over you as you go by. You are not being a good example to me." And the Spirit's telling you that, but you refuse to believe. Why? Because all of your dresses are that way. And that would mean a lot of money to go and see how quiet it is, but listen to me anyway. That would mean a lot of money to go and replace all that. You think you'd get excited. "Oh, I get new dresses." I know that's what my wife does. Of course, she don't wear mini skirts, but I'm talking about, you know, when she's getting a new dress. That's why we like it when Mom comes down, because Mom brings down her wardrobe and my wife wears the same. And I like that because I don't have to buy her shoes or dresses or anything like that. She gets a new wardrobe every year and she gets it from Mom. So all of you guys that have been mean to your mother-in-law, you better get nice to your mother-in-law. You can get her shoes and her dresses. And anything else you might be able to confiscate. So the Lord speaks to your heart, speaks to your mind. He says, "Sir, I don't want you to dress that way anymore. It's indecent." But everybody, you don't care what everybody does. He's not interested about what the world does. He wants you to look like Him. He wants His church to be godly and decent and wholesome in this ungodly world today. Their peer pressure doesn't matter. The outside pressure doesn't matter. What do you think they're hungry for? They're looking for somebody who's got enough experience with Him that it will actually make a difference in your life. They're tired of hearing about people claiming to receive Christ and nothing ever changes about them. They stay the same. Oh, they smile a little bit more. Or they may do this, but everything else just stays the same. That is not the kind of God that we serve. I'm telling you, when He gets on the inside, He starts working on the outside. I cannot believe he's leading me this way. But he is. So here we go. I'm not making this stuff up. This is in the book. Now some of y'all are going to really be mad at me in the next few minutes. But this is about Calvary. And he didn't do that work for nothing. He didn't come and save you just because you're pretty. And you are beautiful. You know that too, huh? He saved you because he needs you. And if you're going to keep looking like the world, there's very little he can do for you. And this is why people hate Pentecost. And I'm talking about religious people. This is why the charismatic world and the denominational world hates us. Because we still preach this stuff. And you know why we still preach it? Because God has not come down and removed it from his book. He said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what was good from the beginning is still the word of God today. Somebody shout Calvary. You need to understand this is why he died on the cross. He knows how strong the flesh is. He knows how powerful lust can be. We needed something more powerful than our flesh. So he gave us Calvary. Gave us Calvary. And he shed his blood. Not for me to stay the same. I went to church. Thank God for churches that love people. And we're one of them. Let me tell you, I tell my church all the time. I got a new convert. And you mess with them, I will break your arm. First spiritually, then physically. And if you're bigger than me, I'll get Jim. Is Jim in the house? Jim's not in the house. You don't mess with my new converts. They're growing in God. They're learning. But some of us have been hanging around for years. Years. And you're hanging on to stuff because you're prideful and you're full of lust. That's right. You are in love with yourself. You are in love with yourself. And you don't need nobody else. Yeah. You stand in front of that mirror and you dial yourself up for you. Not giving one thought to the impression you're going to give to a world that is lost and dying. And I got news for you. You can't look like the world and reach the world. There's a reason why people come up to our ladies in supermarkets and say, are you a Christian? It's because they look different than everybody else. And we don't look different just to look different. We look different because it's how he wants us to look. Let me go a step further. It's more than looks, my precious. You. It's more than looks. When you shape up like Christ, there's an anointing that begins to flow from you. How do you know that? Because there's a lot of weird people in the world. They don't just walk up to people that look different and say, are you a Christian? It's more than that. There is an anointing, and greater than the anointing, the blood of Calvary is flowing across you. How do I know that, Yami? Because only the blood could have changed you.
And it's that flow of Calvary that comes across you that begins to get your old brain thinking, and the old heart becomes convicted, and you begin to change things in your life. It hurts at first, but once you do it, you feel the glory and the power of God, and you'll never go back for anything.
I first started going to church. My hair was long. Thank God I don't have any pictures. It split down the middle, feathered on the side. I was gorgeous. Whew, okay. I don't want to go too far with that. Just listen. I've told this testimony before. One day I decided I wanted to sing in the choir. Imagine that, Brother Jesse. My voice wasn't as good back then as it is now. So I think the preacher gave me some qualifications that he felt like I would never do. Therefore, didn't have to tell me you can't sing in the choir. He just figured I'd never fulfill the qualifications. Are you kidding me? So he sat down with me. God bless Brother Creel. What a wonderful man. He's going home to be with the Lord. Both my pastors are gone. And he sat down with me and he opened the Word of God. Everybody say the Word of God. He didn't give me some Pentecostal doctrine. He didn't make up some apostolic rule or regulation. He opened up the Word of God. And he went in there and he said, "No, son, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but you're the one that came to me. You won't sing in the choir." He said, "But only people that step up on the platform, the people that have come into the Word and have followed, you know, certain things of the Word of God." "No problem, Pastor. Come on. Lay it on me. Lay it on me. Lay it on me. Tell me." I know I'm being silly, but don't laugh too hard. "Ma, did you used to have long hair? I can look at you and tell you. I can look at that guy and say, that guy had long hair." It takes a certain quality of dumbness. "But don't worry, I got it. I'm full of it." And they usually become preachers, so I don't know how long you're going to have that $20 job. So he said, "Well, son, you're going to have to cut your hair." And I said, "What in the world does hair got to do with anything? I'm not wanting to sing soprano." Is that a, I don't know the parts. Is soprano a boys, girl part? Girl part.
House part.
Oh, I can do it. I can do it. "His love never fails. Love never fails. He never gives up on me." Jesse gonna come running to me. "Join the choir. Join the choir. Join the choir." He says, "Son, you're going to have to cut your hair." "You okay? I'm telling you that right now." I said, "What are you talking about?" And he showed me in the Word of God that it is, and I'm being as kind as I can, so if you're a man here and you have long hair, I'm just preaching truth. So love pastor. Everybody say, "I love pastor." Say, "It's Jesus I'm mad at." Well, that's who you need to be mad at, because I didn't write the book. Huh? "And the word of the Lord said, it is a shame for a man to have long hair." And it goes all the way back to the beginning. In the beginning, God created them. He created them male and female. And what is the devil doing today? What's the main move of the spirit today? What's the main move of the spirit today? What's he trying to take away? He wants men to be women, and he wants women to be men. It's what he's doing. He's switching the roles, isn't he? Why? What's he really trying to do? He's trying to destroy the image of God. Because if he can destroy the image of God, the world has no hope. Okay, y'all ready? Dear Lord, it's 12:52. Thank you, Sister Erica. I'm going to go another one. Hush, Petra, you're disturbing me. In that same chapter, the Bible also tells us that he doesn't want our women to cut their hair. I saw that. I saw it coming. No, we don't like that. And that's why preachers don't preach it anymore. Because they lose all their members. So they think. But I know better. We are living in a generation who are looking for God. They're tired of religion. You know why the politicians that are leading in the polls right now have never served in an office? They've never been in any kind of office at all. And they're leading in the polls. You know why? Because the world is sick of politics. Democrat or Republican, we don't care. We're sick of all of you. You're all liars and you're cheaters. And you take my tax money and you use it for ungodly things. And I'm tired of it. The world feels the same about religion. We're tired of pretty sermons. We're tired of you tickling our ears, and it's what the Word of God says. We're tired of you telling us everything is, you know, just hunky-dory, just smile and love Jesus. No, there's sin in my heart. There's ungodliness in my life. And I need somebody to stand up and preach the gospel to me. I don't believe that he died on a cross for a sissified, pansy, weak, anemic religion. He died on the cross for an army that will rise up in power and anointing and strength. God, you can be seated. Just a few more minutes. God knew how strong these things would get a hold of us, how difficult they would be to break loose. So he gave us a power to do it. Tell your neighbor, Pastor, you might as well spill all the beans. I hope we got 9 people next Sunday. I'm going to tell you what you ought to do, whether you believe it or obey it. You ought to go find somebody and say, hey, you need to come to a church and hear this crazy man. Because he's preaching things that I didn't even know was in the Word of God, but it's in there. Read Peter. Read Hebrews. Read Corinthians. You'll find it all. All right. Everybody say Calvary. It's to change me. Listen. The devil has done such a great job at convincing so many people of what religion is supposed to look like. I love you. You are so faithful. You have done so good. God has brought this sister such an incredible way in Jesus' name. Wow, what an awesome God we serve. All right, here we are. The first two were easy. This one's going to be real tough. Is it okay? Let me tell you something. God has been dealing with us for the last 12 weeks. He will not have an anemic, half-bred church that carries his name. He would rather us forget the name of Jesus and leave him alone if all we're going to do is be religious. He wants us to be exactly what his word tells us he wants us to be. And Brother Derek, this flesh, and you got plenty of it, buddy. This flesh matters. It matters. Where do you think you lust from? It's your flesh. How many of you know if you give your flesh an inch, it takes a mile? Boy, mine does. Mine take a mile and a half. Oh, yeah. This old boy learned a long time ago, Brother Dixon, I learned a long time ago. I can't give me any room. I am full of all kinds of junk. You know what the word of the Lord says? The word of the Lord says that when we are tempted of our own lust. Huh? In other words, I can only be tempted by what's already in me. You can walk up to me with a cigarette, sister, and I'm going to go, I ain't never smoked, and that thing stinks, and I have no desire to smoke. But I got other things you can walk up to me with. I ain't going to tell you what they are. Huh? And every cell in my body will jump. Because that's my weaknesses. And the devil knows what your weaknesses are. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he knows us. Whew. So we're only tempted by already what's in us. And I'm going to tell you. This world has convinced our ladies, every one of you, and the entire world, they have convinced you that you are ugly. That's right. You know how I know that? Because women spent almost $1 trillion in 2014. I don't know what you spent this year. Prices have gone up. $1 trillion on makeup, jewelry, fix them up surgeries. I know it sounds funny, but we're being serious, right? We're being serious. And all because you thought you weren't beautiful. When God looks at you, he goes, wow. Look at how great of a job I did. That's what God does. He loves you just like you are. In fact, the word of God, this isn't apostolic or Pentecostal doctrine. The word of God says, do not paint your face and do not deck yourself in jewels. Did you know that was in the Bible? And a lot of people don't know it because the worldly religions never preach it anymore. Oh, that's for back then. Are you going to decide what is right and what is wrong in the Word of God? Or are you just going to pick up the Word of God and say it's all right? And help me figure out. And that's the problem. That's the problem with the religious world that we live in today, is that religious people are choosing what it is they want to follow. And then they justify themselves because they follow a few. But no. Not one jot, not one tittle shall pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away. But my word is eternal. It's for us. You say, but it's sentimental value. Greater than Jesus? I know those are hard words. If it's sentimental, then take it and put it somewhere that you will see it every day of your life. The mirror, by the way. Because we all look in the mirror. Right? Take that thing and whatever it is, it's grandma's, and you're blessed if you had one. I never knew mine. So you hook that thing around, and every day you get up, grandma gave that to me. And you just touch it. But you know that greater is he that's in you than anything else in the world. So grandma, I love you. You're the most wonderful person in my life. I love you. But when I walk out that door, it's not about you, grandma. It's about him. And I have to represent him. Tell your neighbor, man, this is tough today. God bless all my guests, my Lord. But you won't hear anybody out there teach you this. And this isn't foolishness. It's what he did. It's what he did. And most of our pain and most of our heartache, it's because we just simply don't follow him. We're still following us. Because we're in love with us. Let's stand. I could go so much further. You say, how's this about Calvary? And I'll tell you, listen. You don't have to beat me up when you go home. I will beat myself up enough. Me and God, we talk all the time. I said, I cannot believe you did that to me today. I wanted to preach on Calvary and exalt the cross. And he'll just say to me, you want to work for me or not? Well, of course I want to work for you. Then shut up and do what I tell you to do. Because he's not worried about my feelings either. He's worried about your soul that will live for eternity. So what is this all about? This is about us getting into the Word of God and looking into his Word. You say, but it was written 2,000 years ago. Do you not think that God is wise enough to be able to put his book together that will cross every generation? Every generation. And I'm going to give you another secret. Another secret. You ready? The nature of man has not changed. How do you know that? Read the story of Absalom. Read the story of Absalom. The nature of man has not changed. It's the same. Because God knows our nature. And he knows our weaknesses. He has put things in his word that says, you will not, you will not, you will not, you will not. Now, thank God he's got things in there that says, you will, you will, you will, you will. But the will nots are because he understands the spirits that follow it. So you don't comprehend it, but he does. And he knows that when you present yourself a certain way, that you become prideful, bold, brass. And he doesn't want that. He wants us to be humble and submissive and loving and caring. He knows that we'll become more concerned about this than we are about this. So he keeps the flesh under control through his word and by you and I being obedient. And I have barely scratched the surface. Ladies, listen to Pastor. You need to read the word of God. Do you know that the Bible tells us that angels rest upon your uncut hair? That's powerful. Angels rest upon it. Why? Because it's a sign of submission. Oh, that's an ugly word. You ought to see when I'm doing weddings and I've got the word submit in the vows, how red the bride becomes. Fangs slip down the sides of her mouth. Because I said, repeat after me, I will submit to you as long as you are my husband till death do we part.
I will submit to you.
This world's done some horrible things to us. But the word of God knows what it takes to have a happy marriage. I know it takes both. I don't have time for that. Husband, you're to love your wife as Christ loves the church. And the Bible says he died. I'm going to tell you what. That precious wife of yours won't have a problem following you if you'd follow Christ. Amen. So you want to get her fixed? Why don't you fix yourself? World's going on here today. So the Lord is speaking to us. He wants a church that's in love with him, that when we step out these doors, we do not look like the world. We look like him. Like his word asks us to look. Don't dress up for him in here. Because at least 2% of us are saved. I'm just kidding. You don't dress up for God in here. You dress up for God out there. Because that's who he's trying to reach. The lost. And when they look at you, they're going to ask the question. My daughter was just recently. Hannah, are you in the house? What, didn't it just happen to you just recently? Last Monday, was it a lady? A lady walked up to my daughter and said, are you a Christian? And she said, yes. And I think she asked you to pray for her. She said, would you please pray for me? Now, why didn't she walk up to the others? Is it just because she looked different? That was part of it. But it's her obedience to the word of God that allowed the anointing to flow through her and touch that woman. We're not going to save the world through our knowledge or anything else. We're going to save them and touch them through the anointing. And the only way the anointing is going to flow through you is when you become obedient to the word of God. Ladies, I want angels on your head. Stop cutting your hair. It's the word. Men, I want you to have authority in your life. If you have long hair, cut it. Guys, I want you to stop wearing shorts. It's what the world does. If you're with a bunch of guys and you're playing basketball, I don't care if you wear a Speedo. They might beat you up. I'm talking about in mixed company. Let's dress wholesome and decent. You say, but it's hot. Then get something that breathes. No excuses. I want us to look like men. Stop wearing shirts that show your muscles. Not everybody can look like Pastor. It's just as wrong for you to make a girl lust as it is for a girl to make a man lust. Ladies, stop showing your breast. Stop exposing your cleavage. Men lust. Wear it up. Come on, get it up. 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 Cover yourself. Get those skirts below your knees. I'm telling you, I know men. I am one. Get those skirts below your knees and loosen them up a little bit, for God's sake. Some of y'all wear them below the knees, but I can't tell if it's a skirt or your skin change colors. When that thing goes down and shapes your rump, you're sinning. I'm glad we got Pastor Appreciation over with. I noticed it's been a long time since somebody came up and brought me a gift. Loosen that up. You say, well, don't look. I'm looking. And so is every other man. Because we're just a bunch of demons trying to live for Jesus. And that's why the Lord says, no, you don't cause them to sin. You do it right. The word of the Lord says, if you cause a man to lust, it's your sin. He sins, but you sin too. So loosen it up. Let's dress modest. Cover your cleavage. Stop painting your face. You're beautiful. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're beautiful. Not the guys. Guys, find a girl. Tell them you're beautiful. I have never met an ugly apostolic. Never. Sister Luma, come here. My wife's not in here. Otherwise, I'd choose her. And I could choose any of you. Come, come, all the way up. I am so glad you dressed decent today. I'm just kidding. It's not tight. It's covered up. There's nothing here. And that is one of the most beautiful women you will ever see in your life. Why she married Brother Luma, I'll never figure it out. And I can bring all of my apostolic women up. Because you're beautiful. Because it's more than just the skin of your face. When you're obedient to God, you glow. You glow. You radiate with His love and His glory. Take the shiny things off. You don't need them. Sell them and give them to the building fund. Hey, we've almost got $100,000 in the building fund. Come on. So, this is what Calvary's all about. And if you believe in Calvary, He'll reveal His arm to you. And when He reveals His arm to you, which I never got to, but that's okay. He reveals His arm to you. You won't have a problem doing these simple, little, trivial things so that you may represent him. And I'm telling you, listen to Pastor. The blessings that will flow through your life are incredible. The kids are coming in, so we got a little bit of movement here. What time is it? 11:17. 1:17, I'm sorry. We got some people being baptized today. Who's being baptized? One, two. Hey, listen. Listen, if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, we want to baptize you in the name of Jesus. It'll change your life forever. And if you're here today and you're saying, well, I don't really know how I was baptized. You weren't baptized in Jesus' name. I've never met anybody buried in the name of Jesus that didn't know it. So we got hot water out there. We got a baptistry out there. We got robes you don't have to worry about. You just take off your clothes privately, put on a robe, and you'll come out here. We'll baptize you in Jesus' name. We'll give you a towel. You'll go change again, and your sins will be washed away by the blood of Calvary. It's baptism in Jesus' name. Amen.